Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 15th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is indeed hour two of two. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founders. We use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America, as our guide. We believe the checks and balances put in place by the founders are absolutely brilliant. We can restore America, but this nation was only designed for a moral and an educated people. And if we're not moral or educated, it's not possible to have freedom, ladies and gentlemen. It's pretty clear. All right. Really quick before we add our guest to the mix. You know, Antonin Scalia died, as everybody knows. WorldNet Daily is reporting that he died with a pillow over his head. Now people are calling foul play, and people are calling for an autopsy. I guess the coroner pronounced Scalia dead without even seeing the body. Did so over the phone. That's odd. And then said no autopsy. Very strange brew going on, to say the least. Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. And our guest, Becky Akers, well-known author, does a great job standing up for liberty. She's an anarchist, folks, so we don't agree on everything. But we do say that she's got a unique perspective that's always worth bringing to the table. This is the roundtable. We give you ideas. You think about them, make up your own mind of how you think things ought to be. We don't need to control your thoughts like the mainstream press. We can lay it all out and let you decide. How's that? She's the author of incredible books like Hailstorm and Abducting Arnold. The revolutionary new novels, get them today. Type in Hailstorm, Becky Akers, or Abducting Arnold, Becky Akers, and you can get those books immediately. Buy them before they're banned today. And Hailstorm is about Nathan Hale, one of the greatest men to ever live. Incredible book. Abducting Arnold has to do with the real story of Benedict Arnold. Was he a traitor like we think? Maybe it's not that simple is the idea. All right, Becky Akers, they say there was foul play when it comes to Antonin Scalia. Foul play, what do you say?
Well, thank you very much, Sam. I appreciate such a kind introduction. And what fascinates me about the brouhaha over Scalia's death is not whether or not there was foul play, but the fact that we live in such times that people are assuming there must have been. I mean, the man was 79 years old. It's not unusual for somebody in his late 70s to die of a heart attack, and yet people are automatically assuming there's been foul play. I think that speaks volumes about the corrupt and oppressive dictators under whom we're languishing. That people naturally assume these corrupt, vile politicians are offing each other, just like they do in third world countries. So that I find fascinating.
The big reason that a lot of people believe there might be foul play is, number one, no autopsy was ordered. They basically declared him dead and, did the final report, if you will, without even seeing the body. And then the rancher that found him said that he died with a pillow over his head. It just doesn't make a lot of sense when you hear those details. You kind of go, that's really weird.
Well, a lot of people die without having an autopsy performed. That doesn't strike me as all that strange. I don't know about famous politicians, what the stats are on autopsies there. Although, let's always remember that people like Scalia are unknown to the vast majority of Americans. Those of us who follow politics closely, we're familiar with them.
It's a good point.
But most people out on the street couldn't name the 9 Supreme Court justices. And in fact, very few people care about that. My husband, when he wants to get me really depressed, and I'll say, how can someone not know who XYZ is? He'll say, yeah, but you don't know who the winning quarterback on the Super Bowl teams were. And he's absolutely right. And then he'll say, millions of Americans think that's really important, and they could name it without even thinking about it. So just chew on that a while and tell me if you don't come away despairing for the fate of our country.
Well, and our buddy Mark Dice runs around and does videos to prove your exact point. You know, they say stuff like, hey, George Washington is going to run on the next ticket with Jeb Bush. Would you vote for that ticket? And people are like, oh, yeah, absolutely. That'd be great. They don't even have a clue what's going on. And he highlights that in his videos. They're quite comical, actually. They're sad, but they're comical.
It, Exactly right. It's sad, but it's very funny to think people are so caught up in minutia that does not matter. And the things that gravely affect themselves and their families, they don't pay any attention to. So it's the foolishness of the age. And, you know, getting back to Scalia, here's some more, I wouldn't say foolishness, but symptoms of our age, that people are assuming that a 79-year-old man no longer dies of natural causes, especially if he's in politics. Some of his rivals have instead done him in.
And when you look at motive, though, the Democrats being able to put their person on the Supreme Court sure smacks of motive, too, is kind of the sad part about all this.
Yes, and again, Sam, you're reinforcing my point that, you know, and I'm not saying that foul play did not happen. I'm simply saying how fascinating that that's the first thing many people assume. It speaks volumes about the crook in the White House, the utter criminal there, his utterly criminal administration, and the utter criminality of both Republicans and Democrats. You know, it's just a real testimony to how we look at the people that we then go and cast a vote for. Isn't that the most telling thing of all? We're the ones enabling all this. We're the ones putting these people in power. You know, all of us. You may say, well, there's nothing I can do. Yes, there is. All of us can withdraw our consent at any point from this horrific charade of politics. All of us can say at any point, I no longer give this government any legitimacy. I refuse to consent to it, and withdraw and start telling the people around you they are criminals. They have no right to tell us what to do. They should not be lording it over us, because look at the murders they commit. Look at the innocent people overseas they have bombed. Look at the innocent children here they have condemned to death with their support for Planned Parenthood. They're robbing us of our income and our wealth to support Planned Parenthood and to give it financing so that it can continue murdering our children. That is outrageous, and I withdraw my consent, and I refuse to acknowledge these dictators and tyrants as having any legitimacy. The minute more of us do that than don't, this government is gone.
We have created a culture of murder with abortions, that's for sure. Now, Becky Akers, today is President's Day. I know that's even a mockery in and of itself, but you know what? It used to be considered George Washington's birthday. Do you want to say anything about George Washington's birthday or the farewell address? We talked about that a little bit last hour.
Oh, I adore Washington. He's one of the only presidents in the history of the country that I will exempt from my unilateral condemnation of all of them. I admire Washington primarily for the reason that the 18th century did, and that is that he frequently had a chance to assume dictatorial power, and he refused each time. There was a point during the American Revolution at which Congress wanted to give him dictatorial powers, wanted to make him dictator, and he refused and said, no, this is not what we can do. Again, at the end of the American Revolution, there were a number of Americans who wanted to make him king and give him dictatorial powers for life. Again, he refused. In fact, he was angry about that. And he told them, you don't understand me at all, and you don't understand why I have fought and why I have given everything I have to guarantee we'll be free if you think I'm now going to turn around and dictate to you just as the British Empire did. So he is a magnificent man. I think also, Sam, that he's an exceedingly rare man. I don't think, and the 18th century acknowledged the same thing too. People then said there will never be another man like Washington. And I don't think there will be. I'll also say my private theory on him is that if we did birth another Washington right now, if he were, let's say he had been born 50 years ago and he were running for president, he would not run for president in today's climate. And secondly, if by some fluke he came to national attention, he would be ridiculed and mocked and driven out of public. The kinds of virtues that Washington embodied are no longer current in our culture, and they are, in fact, disdained and laughed at. And that also is just tragic and very, very depressing the more you think about it.
And unfortunately, I cannot agree more. If you read his farewell address, it gives all kinds of guidance about how to protect liberty and how to reject ever-creeping government. It really is something to behold. And again, let's be very clear. We don't worship George Washington. We just think he had characteristics and attributes that are very rare indeed. And he set forth an example with his life that we ought to emulate in our own lives. But we don't worship George Washington. Let's make that very clear, Becky.
Yes, absolutely, Sam. He is a mere man, and he would be the first to tell you that, because he was a devout believer in Jesus Christ. He was a Christian who adored his Lord and Savior, and he left clear testimony to that effect. The modern scholars who try to say, well, Washington, he never came out.
Hang tight. We got to fly for a quick break. Becky Akers with us, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite talk station.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Becky Akers riding shotgun today, author of Hailstorm, an incredible novel, also Abducting Arnold, another revolutionary new novel. They're both available now. Type into Google Becky Akers, author, and then Hailstorm or Abducting Arnold. They're available now. Incredible books to help you understand history, understand America, and understand great men. Speaking of great men, George Washington's who we're talking about now. We used to celebrate his birthday no more in this fallen republic that we find ourselves in. Tragically, we can restore the republic, but it's going to take a moral people. And George Washington was a believer in Christ, was a very humble, moral man. You were saying, Becky, before the interruption?
Yes, there's been a tendency among modern scholars, actually more than a tendency, there's been a movement and an overwhelming consensus among modern scholars that Washington was a deist, which means that, he thought that God created the cosmos and then just kind of walked away and just left it to run itself. And there are no such things as miracles, and Jesus Christ was just a man like everybody else, and God does not interfere with the system that he set up. I don't know why you'd want to believe in such a pathetic God, and I don't know how you can rationally say, well, a God that started the universe doesn't have enough power to interfere in that universe. But that is the nonsense that was called deism.
The idea is that the earth and its whole existence and everybody that populates it and everything else is kind of like God set up a wind-up toy, wound it up, and then got bored and kind of left. Crazy idea.
And does not have the power to interfere further, or to regulate further, or whatever. And this was a philosophy that came out, I think, in the 1600s. I may be wrong on that. I've never really researched the history of deism, but there's a pervasive saying among modern scholars that the founders were deists. Now, this is absolutely false. Whether they're talking about Washington or the other founders, deism didn't really make inroads in America until the 1790s. Okay, so Jefferson, interestingly enough, came back from his stint in Europe as a deist because deism was very much in vogue in Europe in the 1770s, 1780s, even earlier. Benjamin Franklin, another big traveler, also was a deist. But those two alone among the founding fathers, unless we consider Thomas Paine, who again traveled in Europe and came back a deist. Okay, so these men, all with European travels under their belt, with a European outlook, a much more international outlook than most Americans at that time had, they were deists. But deism per se did not take over the United States. It did not, and even then it never took over the United States, but it didn't make inroads in the higher cultural institutions such as colleges and universities in the U.S. until much later than the founding period. Okay, now we're still dealing with the effects of such heresy today. I don't mean to underplay the effect that deism had on the country, but when you read a scholar who says, well, Jefferson was a deist when he wrote the Declaration of Independence, that's absolutely false. He was not. I don't know that Jefferson ever had accepted Christ as his personal savior. He seems to have been raised in a nominally Christian home. Most Americans then were Christian. They taught their children the Bible. What Jefferson's personal acquaintanceship with the savior, I don't know. I don't know that he left us records, but George Washington certainly did. George Washington testifies in letters and in other documents that we have from his hand that he was a devout, Bible-believing, born again, in the modern vernacular, Christian, who trusted Christ as his personal savior. So the scholars who try to say otherwise absolutely don't know what they're talking about. And, you know, you can see the fruit of the Spirit in George Washington's life, okay? What's one of the fruits of the Spirit? Humility. George Washington was an incredibly humble man. When he was nominated by the Continental Congress to become general of the new Continental Army, the forces that were gathering around Boston in 1775, Washington stood up and said, I'm not worthy of this. I am not a man who's going to be able to lead you to victory. I can't do this except with help from the Lord. I thank you for your trust in me. I'm willing to try, but I want you to understand I am not the Colossus you think I am. I'm not going to be able to do what you think. He carried that attitude all through his life. And he carried that attitude with him when the country was newly established and they were looking for a king. Again, Washington said, I'm not the man that will do that, and that's not why I fought. I didn't fight for my own personal power. I fought for freedom. Okay, so again, you have this sense of humility. Washington is famous for having been so gallant and so courteous to everyone he encountered. Now we're used to presidential candidates fighting each other and calling each other horrific names and utterly scandalous language and vile epithets. Washington never indulged in any of that. He didn't go and personally attack anyone, even those he violently disagreed with. He tried to make peace. And it's very interesting, too, to watch his relationship with Alexander Hamilton. Hamilton was a real scamp. I don't care for him at all. He was a very malicious influence in this country. And at one point, when he joined Washington's staff, Washington kind of looked on him as a son. Of course, George Washington never had any natural children. He did have two stepchildren when he married Martha. Her children became his stepchildren. But he didn't have natural progeny. Hamilton was one of the young men in the Continental Army that Washington took a shine to and looked on as kind of his surrogate sons. There were a couple of them like that, and Hamilton's son. Well, later in the war, Hamilton picks a fight with Washington. Okay, I mean, if you read the details of it, Hamilton is clearly just itching to fight this man who has done so much for him and been so kind to him. And Washington just lets him go. Washington doesn't respond in kind or anything. And later, Washington has him in his cabinet. Okay, so clearly Washington practiced another fruit of the spirit, forgiveness. So we just have both his verbal testimony and the testimony of his actions to tell us that George Washington was a devout Christian who honored and trusted his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Kirk Crosby, you want to chime in on George Washington, the man? We don't worship him, but we certainly think a lot of him, to say the least.
You know, it's appropriate, in my opinion, that it's very close to Valentine's Day with the honoring of George Washington and his day as well. This is a man who, well, he not only loved his country, but he loved his wife and those around him, and showed that love by his actions. All I can say is God bless America and the memory of a great man, George Washington.
Yeah, he was well known for writing My Dear Martha, wasn't he, Becky?
Yes, he was. And Sam, before I forget, let me say, too, I think it's quite fascinating, quite a testimony to him and a real tribute to him, that the day that was set aside to honor him, his birthday, has been transmogrified into President's Day. Okay, we don't focus on Washington anymore. I think that's a very calculated move because his life and words and example are so very powerful. Okay, we need to distract the serfs and the slaves from what Washington had to say about freedom. We need to distract the unregenerate from what he had to say about forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ. Okay, we need to distract everybody from that. We don't want to pay any more attention to Washington because his words are too powerful. So that alone, just the tribute that our rulers today are paying to him by trying to get our attention away from him, that alone should tell us what a great man he was.
Well, in the last hour, our guest basically mentioned we ought to read his farewell address because there's 26 points in that address that can really help us understand where we are today, what the problems are, what the solutions are, what we can do about the problems we face. It's very prophetic, even though I wouldn't call George Washington a prophet. I would say that his views were certainly timeless. Kurt, you want to finish?
By the way, we highly recommend, your visit to, his Mount Vernon estate. When you're there in the Washington, D.C. area, we even did broadcasts from there. Great stuff, ladies and gentlemen.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Quick pause. Becky Akers, our guest, in seconds.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. together.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, Liberty Roundtable is brought to you in part by thepowermall.com. Do business with the good guys today. Thepowermall.com. All right. Or you can make an order by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, thepowermall.com. As Joyce Riley wisely says, do business with the good guys, and we concur. Speaking of the greatest general in the history of the world, in my humble opinion, George Washington, I want to kind of mention this. There's an article written by a guy by the name of Shane Kassler, Becky. And the title of the article is The Three Republican Stooges Who Would Draft Your Daughters. The Three Republican Stooges Who Would Draft Your Daughters. And he points out that Chris Christie, Marco Rubio, and Jeb Bush all believe in the draft for women. And they're calling it an opportunity for women. Women finally deserve their fair shake, kind of an idea. I say it's psychotic. We talk about the immorality of the nation, how we're falling apart, and this just points to the truth of this. I suggest, and our last guest last hour suggested, and say to you that conscripting our men and women is evil, ladies and gentlemen, and it is contrary to the ideals of liberty. And we need to stand against the draft, period, but especially for our women, our daughters, the next generation of mothers. Becky?
Oh, I would agree with you wholeheartedly, Sam, but I would be perhaps even stronger. One of the reasons that a draft for women is being considered and is shouldn't be, say, be considered, but one of the reasons the draft for women is out there and these people are unashamedly floating such a satanic idea is because the draft for men has been tolerated for much of the last century. Okay, it is, as you say, evil. It doesn't matter what the sex of the person is we're drafting. This is an evil idea. It is enslavement. Okay, now we have an amendment that got rid of slavery, and then we allow the federal government to come in and enslave men who are between certain ages. This is insanity, and this is utterly evil. We have to ask ourselves, what is the purpose of a draft? The purpose of the draft, at least that our rulers tell us there are many purposes, but the only one they'll admit to, is so that we have a standing army. Okay, we have a pool of people ready that we can send around the world to kill other people. Why would we ever want to do that. The only reason you go around the world is if you want to establish an empire. And empires are lethal to liberty. There has never been an empire on the face of this earth that has guaranteed liberty to its subjects. And in fact, that is what you are when you live in an empire. You are a subject of it. You are not a free person. That's one reason why the American Revolution was fought, was to throw off the yoke of the British Empire. Okay, we weren't just fighting to be free from Britain. We were fighting to be free of the British Empire. Now we have an American Empire, and a draft goes right along with that, okay? You have a draft because you have to have people going around the world subjugating other countries to the empire. Why would anyone, other than a politician or a bureaucrat, why would any normal human being possessed of rationality and the bare minimum of compassion want his taxes spent killing other people and subjugating them to the sociopaths that rule us from D.C.? Why would we want to wish them off on anyone else? My goodness, we can't.
But isn't it? But Becky, isn't it good for the economy?
Yeah, it is good for the economy if you are in certain segments of the economy, Kurt, such as the war manufacturers. If you are at Boeing or you are at Lockheed Martin or whatever its current incarnation is, Lockheed, I guess, or one or the other, if you are at some of the big multinational corporations, of course it's good for you to have perpetual war in an American empire. But the rest of us who are paying taxes, who don't have political capital, who aren't political cronies, we're the victims of the empire every bit as much as the poor Iraqis are, that our taxes have been stolen from us to bomb, okay? Every American who's homeless today, every American whose home has been repossessed, he couldn't pay his mortgage because his taxes are so high. Did you ever notice the feds always get paid in a bankruptcy case even if nobody else does, okay? Every single victim of this empire needs to rise up against it, and the rest of us need to be reminded of the utter evil empires work. And if you think that by going and voting you're doing anything to overcome this evil, you are not. You are simply feeding the system.
Kurt, you want to respond?
Well, Becky, I hope you know I meant it tongue-in-cheek.
Yes, I do.
You know, the whole economy thing, I mean, just imagine. I remember a leader in the past who we supported, and his goal was to kind of bring this whole war thing down to, well, just when it was necessary. He said, look, I will lead the Congress. That would be the House and the Senate into battle, and we can go in before the, you know, these guys that usually have to fight and die. We'll go in first, and I would say with that kind of situation, there would be a lot less of these wars.
Well, I'll tell you what, Kurt, I should have qualified my statements on the draft. I am not completely and entirely opposed to a draft. I would propose that we have a draft of Congress. And I say all of these war hawks who are so keen to send our sons and daughters to die and us to die, let's send them. The next war they propose, we're suiting up the 535 members of Congress. We'll include the departments, too. Let's get all the bureaucrats in on this as well, because they're part of the empire. Let's outfit them all and send them all over to kill and be killed instead of us and our kids being sent to kill and be killed. So they want a war. They want an empire. They want a draft. Fine. We're doing it only to them.
In other words, you're saying to the armchair quarterbacks, all right, son, it's time to sit up and get in the game.
That's right.
Now, we ought to do this with gun control, too. I know a lot of people are against gun control, and it depends on how you define it. If gun control is being able to hit with what you aim at for the first shot, I believe in control there. Gun control would be fine. The gun control where they want to disarm the American people is flat out against the law, and these people ought to be put in the clink as criminals for even suggesting such. Nevertheless, what if we were to disarm all bureaucrats, disarm all government officials? They ought to be disarmed, especially in their agencies. You got almost every agency in government armed to the teeth now, Becky, and that's the serious problem we face, too.
you know, the absolute danger of that cannot be overstated, because at the same time that they are arming all these bureaucrats, what they're doing is taking the guns away from us. Okay, this is the situation of Nazi Germany. This is exactly the road Nazi Germany traveled. Hitler is well known for having said, you can't force people to do what you want them to do if you haven't taken away their guns. You cannot subjugate a people if you haven't disarmed them. This is just common sense, okay? What is the first action cops take when they grab somebody on the street, usually someone who's done nothing wrong? Let's be very clear about that, okay? Here in New York City, cops will just grab someone that they think is carrying a gun, which is guaranteed to us by the Second Amendment, the right to do so, okay? Cops will grab someone they think has some marijuana on him. Okay, that is not a crime. That's just a political crime. Okay, we have political prisoners in America, just as they do in China, just as they did in Soviet Russia, just as they did in Nazi Germany. We have political prisoners who have committed absolutely no crime whatsoever. They have simply gone against a bureaucrat's dictates, and a bureaucrat has dictated that you can't possess a certain amount of marijuana. So anyone who's found with a little bit over that limit is thrown in jail. That's a political prisoner who's done nothing wrong. Okay, but cops will grab a political prisoner, and the first thing they'll do is take his weapons away from him. Okay, why? So that he cannot fight and resist, all right? Why do we think that gun control is anything less for us? Gun control is taking away our only chance to resist the tyranny that is overtaking this country. Why any human being, I don't care if he's a Democrat and stupid enough to be a progressive and a socialist, even someone that dumb should be able to reason this through and understand, when my guns are taken away from me, there's nothing I can do.
Well, Becky, they reasoned through it well enough, all their security personnel, and they all have armed guards and armed to the teeth scenarios for themselves. They know the truth.
Absolutely, Sam. You know, one of my favorite stories to illustrate the dangers of gun control comes from the TSA. And this happened maybe 10 or 12 years ago. TSA has been in existence now for about 14 years. Shortly after it was founded, a plane landed that was under threat, okay? Somebody had found a note in one of their seat pockets, and my advice to anyone who travels a lot is never look in your seat pocket. If you do and you find something, don't say a word, okay? Idiots turn in these notes they find in their seat pockets, and it messes up your entire flight, okay? Here's what happened to this flight. The note that was found in the seat pocket.
All right, hold on. We're going to let you tell the story, but we got a quick break. When we come back, don't look at your seat pocket of the planes, ladies and gentlemen. TSA, stories in seconds with Becky Akers on your radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, directly back to Becky. She was about to tell us a story regarding the TSA. Becky?
Yeah, and I love the story, Sam, because it illustrates the point of owning a gun and carrying a gun and being able to defend ourselves from government, okay? As I was saying, this is probably 10 or 12 years ago. A plane landed at an airport. Somebody had found a note in his seat pocket that said there was a bomb on board. Now, imagine, Sam, that you are on board, perhaps with your wife. Perhaps you and your family are traveling. Your whole family, everyone you love on earth is on that plane. And you have been told there is a bomb on board. What do you want to do? You want to get off that plane just as fast as you can in case that note is accurate, don't you? Okay? That's not what happens because, remember, we now have the TSA and we're forbidden to carry weapons on board that we could defend ourselves with. So what did the TSA do? It made the pilot taxi his plane to an isolated area of the airport, and it sat there for an hour, Sam. Imagine the thoughts going through the minds of the people captive on board that plane, and they could not do a thing because the only weapons they have left after the TSA gets done with them are fingernails. What happened was cops surrounded the aircraft, and one by one, they led people off the aircraft to be searched so they could find out who'd left the note and who had a bomb. Okay, now think this through. Regardless of whether you agree that the cops did a good thing, whether you say, oh, well, you don't know anything about tactics, that's how you disarm a would-be bomber. Regardless of that, just imagine that you're one of the people on that plane. Imagine that you are one of the families in the airport waiting to pick up your loved one on that plane, and you know that plane might blow at any moment, and there isn't a single solitary thing you can do because the TSA has all the guns. Any rational human being with a speck of compassion in him has got to admit gun control is an absolute evil straight from the pit of hell.
Couldn't have said it better myself, ladies and gentlemen.
Other than that, it's not so good. Other than that, it's not so bad.
All I can tell you is this, though. What about disarming bureaucrats and all their personnel, their security entourage and stuff like that? I think that government officials in their official capacity shouldn't be able to have guns. Now, maybe when they get home from their job, they can go ahead and be like the American citizen. But until then, hey, they ought to be disarmed, Becky.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, you know, again, you had cops heavily armed surrounding that aircraft. Nobody could get off who didn't want to endure a barrage of bullets from those cops. Okay, so that was your choice. You can blow up with the plane or you can go down in a hail of gunfire from cops. You know, it's very interesting. If you start looking at the stats on cops' accuracy in firing, they're embarrassingly low, okay? So one of the first things we could do that would help decrease, quote, gun violence deaths is we could disarm the cops. How many people are slaughtered annually totally mistaken by cops? Okay, they just happen to be in the proximity where a cop is firing off his gun and they get mowed down. We have a case right now in New York, Sam, a cop who shot two innocent people didn't know what he was doing, shot two innocent people, had nothing to do with the crime. He was just out on a patrol in a housing project. Two innocent people dead because this guy is such a bad marksman, didn't know what he was doing. His gun accidentally went off, okay? When we're going to institute gun control, absolutely, start with the politicians and the bureaucrats.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know what? The TSA is out of control. We need to shut that down. We need to disarm all government officials. They're flat out of control. And it's amazing how we have become one of the greatest arms dealers around the world. We want to arm both sides of wars everywhere we go. Then we want to arm drug cartels with Operation Fast and Furious. We want to basically arm government officials to the teeth. Every government agency is getting armed, but yet we want to disarm the American people. And it's fascinating how we want to arm everybody except for the constitutional provision that the American people have the right to keep and bear arms. They want to violate that. These people need to be criminally tried for their abuses. It's obvious to see when you arm drug cartels via Fast and Furious, when you arm criminal elements around the world and create ISIS, the United States government created ISIS, and then you try to disarm the American people, it has become so blatant of their agenda that they need to be tried as criminals, Becky. They really do.
It is also fascinating, Sam, to remember that the battles of Lexington and Concord, the first outright skirmishes of the American Revolution, Lexington was fought over trying to disarm the colonists. Okay, that's always glossed over. You don't get that in your school textbooks. And even today when you go to Lexington, it's not readily apparent, but that's what was going on. The British Army was marching out of Boston where they had their quarters. They were marching out in the into the countryside because the British Army knew that Patriots had been stockpiling arms and ammunition and other martial supplies in a little village called Lexington. Fortunately, the Patriots had enough warning of this impending invasion that they were able to move most of their stores. And in the end, all the British got were a couple of barrels of flour that they dumped into a pond, and a couple of older muskets. But it's really instructive to understand that that is what prompted the first skirmish of the American Revolution. It was an attempt by the British Empire to disarm its American subjects. We now have an American empire trying to disarm its own subjects, all right? We need to fight this as strenuously and as forcefully, i.e. with our guns, as the American colonists did.
No doubt about it. We need to stand up and be counted. The founders drew a line in the sand when the thugs came for their guns. They realized that if we let that go, they took a lot of abuses. If you really study the Declaration of Independence, study the history, they took a lot of abuses for literally decades. But when they came for the guns, they just said, that's a line we will not let you cross, Becky.
Yeah, and I'm pleased to see that many people in the movement today are putting that same line in the sand and saying, you know, when you come for our guns, that's when all hell is going to break loose. That is when we stand up against you. I've seen a number of pro-gun websites that are talking about that as far as Connecticut goes, because, you know, there have been tremendously tyrannical laws passed in Connecticut requiring gun owners to turn in their guns and to register all their weapons, this, that, and the other, you know, depending on what type of gun to turn in, that sort of thing. And by and large, Connecticut gun owners have said, no, we're not cooperating, and they haven't. Okay, that is what is necessary. We cannot let the state take our guns. The day it does, that is the day that Nazi Germany comes here, and we have a full totalitarian government. When they can take our guns, there's nothing we can do to repel them. There is no way we can further defend ourselves at that point. I would go so far as to say, you know, it's one of the games that a lot of people who love freedom will play is, which amendment to the Constitution is the only one you could never sacrifice? If you had to choose only one, which one would you choose? And I would always choose the Second Amendment because it guarantees all our other freedoms. As long as we have our guns, there's not much they can do about us. When they succeed in taking our guns away, we are putty in their hands. There's nothing we can do. All you have to do to prove the truth of that is to get film of the Nazis hurting people, not just Jews. It's a common misperception that Nazis only preyed on Jews. They preyed on 12 million people that they killed in concentration camps. All you have to do is get a film of Nazis forcing people onto cattle car trains to take them to the camps. You will see the Nazis there with their guns. You see not a single person able to defy them. And interestingly enough, Sam, there are a couple of recorded occasions when an inmate in a concentration camp being loaded onto a train would grab a gun from a Nazi and begin firing. That was the only time a person was able to stand up against the Nazis is when he'd grab a Nazi's gun. Now, of course, the few times that happened, the person was always shot because, you know, the Nazi, there are hundreds of Nazis there with guns and one person, you know, one of their victims getting a gun for himself. But that's the only time you can resist.
And ladies and gentlemen, don't be fooled when they know that King George went for the guns and it created the revolution and it was stopped immediately. And they stood up for themselves. Now they're trying to do it kind of in a soft tyranny. They're trying to back into it by, saying, you know what, we don't really have brass. The ammo plants are unavailable, or we don't have this, or, you know, you can get guns, but you can't buy ammo, or you can buy a gun, but you got to have this and this and that, you know, jump through all these hoops, and you got to, they're just soft trying to do what was done before, and we can't fall for it just the same. The threat's just as real, and the issue is just as critical.
That's correct, Sam, and registration, which everybody says is no big deal, that is a big deal. That tells them where the guns are. That tells them who they can go after. That tells them who to disarm first, okay? Gun registration is a pernicious evil, and it's especially pernicious because so many people have fallen for it. So many gun owners themselves have said, okay, well, you can know that I have a gun, but you can't have the gun. What is the difference? If you've got a list of people who have guns, all you have to do is get enough troops of the U.S. Army to surround that person's house, and all his guns are taken from him. So this is an incredible evil, and we need to stop falling for it. We need to stop permitting it.
There you have it, Kurt. You want a final word?
Well, I think enough has been said about the whole gun thing. One thing I can say is that Becky Akers is not a lady that minces words.
I hear that.
And, like George Washington, she stands up for what she believes, and we appreciate our association with her.
Thank you, Becky. George Washington was armed, and so I think we need to just simply follow suit of one of the greatest generals the world history has ever known. Not only was he a serious warrior when needs be, but he was a man of peace, he was a man of principle, and he was a man, in my opinion, to emulate in our own lives. When it comes to Valentine's Day and love for your wife or your husband, right on down to taking care of the Republic as a true steward, a true statesman should. Becky, thank you so much. Quickly, tell everybody how to get your books. 10 seconds.
Get on Google Akers, Becky Akers, and the titles of my books, Hellstorm or Abducting Arnold.
There you go. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sam. It's always a pleasure and a privilege.
We the people can restore America, ladies and gentlemen. You got to get involved, though. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.